Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, folks? It's 30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is time for Patriot Nation Radio. And the Patriot Nation Radio Network's episode this evening is a landmark case that took place in 1803, Marbury versus Madison. I'm going to explain exactly what this did to the judicial branch and the way the Supreme Court makes rulings and other things that this case has affected. Very important stuff, as we just covered Article 3, which covered the judicial branch. Before we move on to Article 4, we're going to check out Marbury v. Madison. So kick back, relax, going to play some top of the hour hoopla, some advertisements and things like that, and then we'll be back right after this. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Let me get a unit to FDR on 112. Shots fired.
That's all. It's a touchdown.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called Lesmond. It's a media watchdog for police officers. When officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame, you know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
I'm bleeding out. No time, no time.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwendon, end of watch, February 27, 2016. May you rest in peace.
It's time for another party.
Austin, Texas.
Saturday, September 3rd at high noon.
Join us on the east side lawn of the Capitol.
Because you deserve a day off.
And a little substance, too.
Let's party!
The Republican Party.
The Democrat Party.
The Libertarian Party.
The Constitution Party.
Border control.
BLM.
Islamic terror.
Transgender bathrooms.
School curriculum.
The Supreme Court.
The UN at the Alamo.
Governor, we would like a word. Come out and hear
Shalise Finicum,
daughter of Lavoie, Ernest Lee,
founder of the Liberty Pledge,
Tommy Attaway,
author of We Defy, Timothy Frazier,
Libertarian candidate for governor,
James Neighbors,
founder of Overpasses for America,
Fred Schneider,
executive director of Overpasses for America, and warrior woman,
Stephanie August,
John Jarnicki,
president of the Republic of Texas, Doc Green,
RagingElephantsRadio.com,
Crystal Lee Larimore,
publisher of the Damn Good Times,
and Jay Stanley and Sharon Darrington,
Texas Patriots for Secession. Not to mention
great music by the Green Brothers Band.
I said not to mention that.
Saturday.
September 3rd on the east lawn of the Capitol at high noon.
Be there.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
happening in this land that once was free. So, brother, I ask you.
There we go. All right, I'm in.
Are you?
And you're in.
Going to stand by me?
Hot mic.
Defend Freedom Tour featuring Ayla Brown and Madison Rising. Special guests include Karen Vaughn, Jason Redman, Cody McGregor, Jason Beardsley, Darren Selnick, Terry Shepard. Get informed and get involved at DefendFreedomTour.com, coming at you in red, white, and blue. Not all guests will be at all locations. Check the website, DefendFreedomTour.com, for further details.
About themselves, but about the idea of America. We need a hero, someone to show us the way. We need a hero who speaks for the people and what we have to say. We still believe this land of the free is still America.
Yes, indeed, folks. We still believe in the land of the free. But do we really need a hero? And if we do need a hero, I think it would be millions of heroes, American people rising in unity to save this republic from the demise that is facing it right at this moment. But enough of that hoopla. I'm sure everybody's had it up to their the brainstem with political election malarkey. Enough's enough with this election crap. They could turn it off. We don't need it. We have enough information. Everybody's made their decision. Let's stop the bull crap battling, and let's vote, for crying out loud. I know who I'm voting for. Anyhow, what's happening, Char? Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My co-host is here with me, and we're going to cover Madison, Marbury versus Madison, which occurred in 1803, argued, as a matter of fact, February 11th in 1803 and decided in February 24th, 1803. It was a landmark case.
Yes,
and
it was.
We're going to go over this case here tonight. It's 5 US 137 is the case number. And it was this landmark decision, and people are very split of the outcome. So let's start covering a little bit of Marbury v. Madison and fill folks in first on what it was and why it occurred.
Let's look at the history here. John Adams left office, and in comes Jefferson, okay? And his outgoing John Adams had appointed quite a few lower court judges and justices of the peace. One of them was Mr. Marbury for District of Columbia in Washington County. And some of, at least five, because there were five litigants in this case, some of the commissions had not been delivered. And so, or prior to him leaving office. So when the new president, Jefferson, comes in, okay, Madison is the new Secretary of State, and he refused to deliver these commissions. So Mr. Marbury, William Marbury, sues Mr. Madison, James Madison, for failing to deliver this commission because he had been appointed to this position. It was a 5-year Justice of the Peace position, and he wanted to be able to serve his term. So John Marshall was the head Supreme Court justice at the time. And he was the one that gave chief justice. Thank you. I can't keep these titles straight. He was the chief justice, and he gave the deciding opinion. Now, up until this point, as we had studied last week, the Article 3 describes the role of the Supreme Court. And essentially, it just said that it was the top court of the nation for hearing cases. And yet today, we understand it to interpret law and to tell us what law is supposed to mean, as well as being the top court in the nation. So it was this case, Marbury versus Madison, whereby the Supreme Court, with John Marshall, Chief Justice Marshall, taking on that role and adding that role to the Supreme Court. And it was his interpretation of that role having not been included in the Constitution, but seeing that a writ of mandamus, which a writ of mandamus is an order from a court to an inferior government official, ordering that government official to properly fulfill their official duties or to correct an abuse of discretion. Okay. So that's what a writ of mandamus is. In other words, a court telling a government official you need to carry out your official duties because you have not done so. And that's what the actual case was Mr. Marbury going to the Supreme Court and requesting a writ of mandamus against Mr. Madison, not just for himself, but of course the others as well. Now, the court had to make a decision whether or not this could even happen. And what the court did is that they looked at the Constitution itself and what the roles of the legislation, the legislative branch, and the president are with regard to the judicial branch, okay, or the appointment of officials, and in this case, appointing lower judges, okay. And they also looked at law that the legislative branch had passed with regard to how things would be done. And in this case, it was the legislative branch had decided that the Secretary of State's role was to affix the seal of the United States to any and all appointments or commissions to officiate them. And it was the opinion of Chief Justice Marshall that the appointment was finalized once the president's signature was on the form, when such appointment was his decision and his decision only, or his decision with the consent of Congress, and Congress had given his dissent, and therefore his signature was affixed. Therefore, the commission began, whether or not a seal was affixed or whether or not the paperwork was delivered. And therefore, Mr. Marbury was entitled to have his commission delivered as well as the other litigants. So this set the precedent of the Supreme Court interpreting the constitutionality of law. Now, some say that, some of the originalists would say that this was an overstep of the Supreme Court in its role. Me personally, I would say not, because their role is not clearly defined in the Constitution, other than saying that they are just to be the top court in the land. But if you think about it and look at the only two checks and balances in government are between the executive and legislative branches. If this case had never come forth, or if the decision had been, well, there's nothing we can do, we can only hear cases, and you know, with regard to civil or criminal cases, and this is neither, we can't tell the president what to do, so sorry, he's, you know, that's the old president, this is the new president, and it's a, you know, we got a new boss, nothing new about it, then that, where would we be sitting now? We would, as we have now, we have a legislative branch, you know, Congress, it's wholly in bed with an executive office. And those who study history are very aware that our founders, when they were writing the Constitution, many of the anti-federalists argued against having an executive branch that was invested in only one person, that many of them wanted it to be more of an executive board with 3 to 5 members in the executive branch so that it wasn't just in one person. So when you consider that, and then there were others, of course, that didn't even want an executive branch at all. So when you consider that we have pretty much now in the oligarchy state that we have a king or queen, you know, should Hillary be appointed to the office, we're going to have.
I thought it was Hillary.
Hillary Clitoris all the time. She's in love with Muslims, so I'm sure she's going to have a clitectomy as soon as she gets in office, you know, to show her support of the Muslim community.
She's old now. Maybe she should just skip that and tell her daughter to get it.
Yeah, Diane Rogers. I mean, Chelsea.
That guy's daughter. What's his name? Man, that guy that they say is her actual father, he's an ugly son of a gun, ain't he? Man, I saw a picture of that guy there.
They're all but ugly. But, yeah, there's just something about – well, I call her Hillary because of Benghazi. I mean, I will never forget Benghazi, ever.
And just the six bodies alone that have turned up this election season.
Oh, holy cow. Holy cow. Holy cow.
To no accountability. They're just dropping like flies.
I mean, I get tickled on social media when people post pictures of roadkill and meme it with, what did this squirrel, possum, what have you, know about the Clinton Foundation? You know, I mean, you know, it's funny, not funny. It just, yeah, but, you know, the thing with the Marbury versus Madison case, though, is it really did change how the Supreme Court functioned and it was a very early case as well, 1803, when you consider that the Constitution under which we don't really function under it, but the Constitution that established our current republic wasn't fully signed until 1787, then it didn't go into effect until 1789. This was a very, very early case in 1803. Extremely early.
All right. That was what, the Judiciary Act?
Which one?
Was that something that happened late? The Judiciary Act of 1789, establishing 10 new district courts and expanding the number of circuit courts.
No, I was referring to something else. I was referring to, even though the Constitution was ratified in September of 87, there was still 2 years of open public debate, and so it didn't go into full effect until 89 across the Republic. When you think about it, 1803 is not even 20 years after the full institution of the Constitution that under which we allegedly live, and we have this enormously important landmark case where John Marshall, Chief Justice John Marshall, elevates the importance of the Supreme Court from that of simply being the last stop in hearing cases, or as we learned last week, in some arenas being the only place to go, and so on and so forth, to actually having a role and function within the government. And I really am of the opinion that he did a good thing with the interpretation of the or the determination, rather, of the constitutionality of law and the functions of whether or not what the executive office or the Congress, whichever house it might be, are doing. And, you know, but they have certainly strayed from that. Sadly, the SCOTUS has not been taken to task since this decision with whether or not they're actually maintaining their integrity with determining whether or not a law is constitutional and being pure in their interpretation of constitutionality to their opinions that they issue. And again, we have to really take back the narrative and be careful with the language that we use, because we've all gone through public schools for the most part. There's a handful of us who were lucky enough to be homeschooled or to be able to take advantage of private schooling. But even then, we still may have been raised with the rhetoric of Supreme Court rulings. And if they issue rulings, that makes us subjects, and we aren't subjects. Subjects fall under kings, and you know, we have to, in order to take back this republic, we have to take back the narrative and make that paradigm shift in our minds and our hearts, so that we can then begin to change others' hearts and minds to change this, make the change back to the republic. They issue opinions, and opinions are like rectums, and everyone has one.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's sad, though, that under the 14th Amendment system in which we currently live, that when the Supreme Court, as, you know, fairly recently opined that, you know, the states no longer have the right to dictate in their own confines marriage laws, which, of course, I don't think states should be in the business of generating revenue off the backs of people's personal decisions. But by issuing their edict and saying that, you know, anyone can marry anyone, it, of course, is a Pandora's box thing. Personally, I don't care if homosexuals marry each other, but as we have seen since that started, there has been, you know, the odd story here and there of other groups attempting to get their cause brought forward, pedophiles and
necrophiliacs.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it's that Pandora's box. And here's the thing that a lot of people are not going to want to hear, but it was the conservative Christian groups who pushed for those laws to be put on the books in their states to begin with that created this entire mess. Had they left it alone and not required a law stating marriage between one man and one woman to begin with, we wouldn't have had this problem.
Right.
But even conservative Christians are wholly unaware of the fact that whenever you create a law to protect one thing, it will be turned around and used against you. And that's exactly what happened with the Supreme Court opinion that was issued stating that it is unlawful to discriminate against homosexuals and that they are allowed to marry each other. So the state of Alabama recently decided to put forth a bill totally eliminating the marriage licenses altogether. Instead, what they're attempting to do, and of course this is only because somebody started raising Cain, one of their legislators started raising Cain over the income generated from the marriage licenses. What were they going to do about that? Because apparently it goes to help, you know, abused women shelters or something across the state. You know, because God knows, you know, people aren't charitable with their own money. So instead, what Alabama has proposed to do is to require people of consenting age, and of course the bill does delineate you have to be a certain age, et cetera, and so on, and then under 18 but over 16 with parental consent and this kind of thing. You know, it's the same as what it was if you were getting actually married, but all you have to do is go and register your domestic relationship or whatever they're calling it with the clerk of courts. You pay the same fee as you would have if you were doing a marriage license, and it's done.
Right.
No, you can't marry your cousin. No, you can't marry someone underage. You know, if you're a pedophile, no, you can't marry an animal. You know, so they, you know, they are doing all of those protections to keep the fringe, you know, lunatic fringe out of
but
it.
Dang.
But essentially, you know, essentially they're just getting
dang,
out of
man.
The. I know.
My neighbor has a couple sheep out back. I was kind of looking at that one sheep, kind of.
I know. Jeez, I know.
They just killed it.
I know.
I can't have my sheep.
me and the girl dog were thinking about having a, you know, an intro lesbio canine thing going, but you know, hey. I know.
Well,
yes,
know,
I went to Radio
one day
Land.
Maybe one day we can marry off farm animals. I don't know.
I know.
Feel so
it just,
discriminated against.
Yeah, the dog
I'm
is
offended.
Getting ready to contact the doggy ACLU about it, but, you know, she's having this language. Anyway, I'm sorry for being
language.
Silly that way. Yeah, I'm sorry for being silly. But,
you know,
yeah, so that's
jokes,
what Alabama
we make jokes
doing.
About it. We make jokes about it and laugh about it, but this is really a serious matter. And
it is.
I said all along once they agreed and they allowed gay people to get married, the same as everybody else, that the Pandora's box was open. And people told me, you're crazy. And now you have college professors all across the country going, well, men are born that way with a desire for little children. And it's just some people can repress it and some people can't. It's not totally natural and normal. My ass, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Not normal. You know, if you're getting excited by children, and you think that's normal, I got something for you. You know what I mean? Stay away from my kid, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And speaking of college campuses, the University of Texas Austin, you know, it is the beginning of school. Of course, college starts a little bit earlier than public high school and stuff, but I don't know if you saw the brouhaha about Cox, not Glocks.
Yes, yes, I saw it.
Yeah,
it was pretty
getting,
funny. I saw a video of this young blonde girl with this gigantic black phallic symbol.
Yes.
I cannot look at this girl seriously. I'm trying to, like, look at this in a serious way. Like, what is she really trying to say? And I can't. Does she think that big black thing is going to make a difference? I don't know.
So a little bit of background on that. Austin is the center for liberalism in the state of Texas, and it is, of course, the state capital. In January of this year, the state, well, of course, it was the previous session, but the open carry with a concealed carry permit went into effect January 1st of this year. The open carry
I had a gentleman named Brett Sanders. He was synonymous in that battle. He came on the show and talked about it a little bit. I had him on, and it was a good fight.
I'm familiar with Brett and the open carry folks and the don't comply folks and, you know, some of the stuff that goes on with those guys. But the college campus open carry went into effect at the beginning of this college session. And, of course, this young lady and a few of her cohorts were and I'll be honest with you, because of the local – now, most of these marital aids were donated by local Austin marital aid shops. So I have a sneaking suspicion that the vast majority of the protesters were participating for the free toys. I don't necessarily think that they were down with the movement. Okay. I think they were just there to get some free toys, but you know how college kids are. They're dumb, they're indoctrinated, and they'll do anything for a laugh. But yeah, the slogan was Cocks, not Glocks. And I saw that and I was like, have you people lost your flipping minds? I mean, really. It just And now, here's the thing. Professors at the campus, and apparently
Cox,
at other state campus, yeah, Cox, not Glocks. Apparently other campuses, other state university campuses have resigned their positions because, and I quote, they no longer feel safe on a campus where open carry is allowed.
Yep.
Okay, well, you get your liberal asses right on off my state-funded campus. You go right on ahead. Enjoy. I just was like, okie dokie.
I'm still laughing over the title of the rally.
I know. Well, when I saw the video, I didn't have watched the video yet, but when Jim showed me, you know, the little outtake from YouTube on it, and you see this cute little blonde chick with that giant, overly sized. I was like, what in the holy bleep is that? And he says, UT kids are protesting open carry. And I said, and what does that giant phallus have to do with it? And he says, Cox, not Glocks. And I was like, these children really need to learn a larger vocabulary.
Yep.
And I'm not going to tell you what he said with Ruger, but, you know, yeah. I'll let y'all's imaginations go from there. So, but, yeah.
So back to our friends Marbury and Madison.
Yeah, so Marbury versus Madison had elevated the role of the Supreme Court in many people's opinion. It took them from just being the Supreme Court supreme highest court in the republic to actually giving them a role in the checks and balances, if you will, because obviously we saw in reading the Constitution last week and reading Article 3 that they really didn't have any checks and balances role. They didn't have any other role other than being an actual court. And so Chief Justice Marshall, by hearing this case and making the decision that he made and using the argument that he did, created without whether or not he knew that he was doing it is neither here nor there. But he created a role, a checks and balances role for the Supreme Court that has been carried on since then. And in most cases has been done so quite well by not just at state levels, but even on federal levels by the Supreme Court telling the feds or telling various states that law does not apply constitutionally. You cannot do that because it's in violation of this section, that clause, this amendment, that amendment. So, again, in my opinion, I don't think this is a bad case, except when you get into current post-14th Amendment issues whereby the federal government is now on top and the states are subservient to the feds and the people are subservient to all of them. And the Supreme Court starts issuing rulings instead of opinions, and they are political appointees and not appointees based on their character, their skills, and their merits, but based on their political leanings and how they may or may not make decisions. And we get into this foobard cluster F that we have had for the last, I don't know, how long has it been since 1868? 150 plus years?
Long ass time.
Yeah. And so we end up with what we have now, where we don't have rights, we have privileges and immunities, and mostly we don't even have that. So I think we have, I know I can't see the board, but I have been getting a message or two. I think we do have a caller on the line. Mr. Gillis, would you feel like taking a caller?
Let's see. Yeah, we could have him come on quick. Let me get back to the switchboard. Here we go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been having some tricky situation with this, doing this show on this fancy F5 telephone. Let me try to recall which one it is. I believe you wouldn't know what area code he's calling from, right? Now I have a few callers on the line here.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think it's going to be the first guy that called in earlier. Let's figure this up.
Let's see.
You got it, sir.
What's happening?
You got it.
To the show.
Well,
sorry,
thank you very
bring
much.
In. What's happening? No problem.
Oh, well, you know, I've just been paying attention. I heard what the topic was, so immediately I went to my laptop, pulled it all up, printed it all out, and then I started doing the highlighting. And it's like there's just so much more because I've been also studying the Red Amendment as well. So
yeah.
I've just got so much going, but it's pretty interesting how we have all been deceived and how we are all living a lie. There's just so much fluff out there, and people just aren't aware of it. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
They've decided that, I'm going to get this career. I'm going to sit there and work for 25 years and collect this retirement check. But they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. They watch the mainstream media every day. They get that fraudulent fluff out of there, and they think they're just happy-go-lucky. When in reality, they're being lied to on a consistent basis. They're being told where to go shopping, what to buy for Christmas, what the best toy is. And they're not paying attention to what's going on with our judicial system. They're not paying attention to what's going on behind the scenes. All these corrupted officials signing into all these laws and more laws to cover those laws. And so I've been on the phone this morning with John Lamb, and now the EPA is coming out and trying to fine him $300 a day for having some junk on his property when they don't even know what's on his property. So, and it's the same EPA agent that came out and unconstitutionally had Joe Robertson arrested for stock ponds, which he had permits for. They're 310 permits. And the travesty of justice today is just so far out of sync with what it should be. That I also have a show. It's called Spread the Word, and we got it on Wednesday, Fridays, and Sundays, and we tie in with Char all the time because Char is.
Real fast, Gil. If you got a show, I want you to tell everybody how they can hook up with the show and listen to it. Of course, you know I'm not in competition here. I'm in the spread the message position here. And,
oh, that's
and
awesome.
Spread,
yeah, my show's on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific. It's on Friday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific and Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific. On Wednesdays we do Patriot updates because I'm in Washington State, Oregon, and travel to Montana, Eastern Oregon. We did town hall meetings, and I'll be there when the trial starts next week. And we do Patriot updates on Wednesdays. Friday nights we have an open forum. That way, if anybody out there has an issue or a problem, get a hold of me, Joe Slider on Facebook, or joeslider@yahoo.com. If you've got an issue out there where we need to look into it, we've got a bunch of people, researchers. We all network together. We all come together like we do here on this radio. We work with Tal, Char, we work with Melina, and yourself. So we all come together because we're all vitally important, and we must network together and communicate so others have a place to learn, and actually they can reach out to us, and we can help them like John did this morning. He got a hold of me right away. I got a hold of Sherry Duvall, which she has the Montana Readout News, so I immediately got her involved, And then I started networking together. So now I did a live stream. Other people became aware of it. Now we're all paying attention to what's going on. So that's the whole key. We all need to network together. The show's name is called Spread the Word. It's on Blog Talk Radio. Just get a hold of me, and let's link together. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on.
Is that Blog Talk Radio / Spread the Word?
Spread the Word. That's it.
All right. There you have it, folks. We want to make sure you check out that show. Obviously doing great things for the Patriot community and alternative media. Spread the Word. Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, blogtalkradio.com. / Spread the Word. Spread the word, man. Spread the word. Keep spreading the word. And let's rock this, man. Let's make this country the greatest it's ever been.
Well, we got a lot of work to do.
We got a lot of work to do.
And
that red amendment.
Because we're all here together, we can continue moving. We're all vital in this movement.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, and I think Shar can attest to this, that we got to keep spreading the message. You got to keep talking, because if we don't, what's going to be left for the next generation? It's important. And a couple of years ago, I'm in this now for over 3 years. I got over 300 episodes that I've done. And I was at a point where I was just going to throw in the towel. I can't do it, man. I got like 4 listeners, man. I can't do this. And my wife, of all people, who's always nagging me, damn, that show again. You're doing the show again. Told me, listen, you cannot quit. Even if one person's listening to your message, you must continue. And another friend of mine, Beverly, said the same thing. And I was like, you know, you're right. I mean, one person can tell 10 people who can tell 10 people, and one person can spread a message. So even if one person's tuning in, man, and there's so much that you can do in the Patriot movement. You might not be able to go from Florida to Oregon, or Florida to D.C., or Maryland to Texas, or whatever the case may be. You can't get up to Montana. You can't go over to North Dakota to help the Lakota Indians. But you can send emails. You can write letters. You can start radio shows. You can make phone calls. You can go downtown and stand on a corner with a sign and a flag. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do to try to bring awareness to what's really occurring in this country. And it's the defamation of the Constitution by corrupt, greedy career politicians. And a little by little, bit by bit, word by word, show by show. That's why, man, come on, I could care less if your show was on the same exact time as mine. And Charlotte can attest to that as well, because I used to advertise her show that was on Friday night on my show that was on Friday night, the same time.
Right.
Like, you know, tune into her show. You don't want to hear me, listen to her. I don't care. Yeah. It's not to me about competing with each other, because
it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about them.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
And a lot of the problem within the Patriot community is a lot of people are, me, look at me. I want the spotlight. I want that 15 minutes of fame. I don't want no fame. I could care less if people remember my name or who the hell I am. Just remember freedom, liberty, and the American way is important. And it's
spread the word.
People are dying in the snowbanks in Oregon.
Right.
Old men are suffering in prison in Montana. The Lakota Indians are getting ready to get stomped by the federal government. This is happening coast to coast. This is not an isolated thing. This is happening all over the country.
Well, you know, I did a show quite. I used to have my Sunday show based on Agenda 21, 2030. But I guess they got involved and started listening, because then I started getting hacks on the show. Then they finally just shut my show off, because I was simulcasting one of my shows with Shar's show, and they shut me off. They don't like you telling people the truth, you know. And we know that these UN contracts started in the 50s, 70s, all the way through 2015. The last contract was signed this year in January. Every little detail that I talk about is accumulated over decades, and people just don't realize it because they're not paying attention. They have to take the time to shut the TV off, first of all, and they need to go and find a reliable source, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, something on the computer, but they have to find a reliable source because there's a lot of psyops out there. CoinTel is out there spreading false media, false stories, and it's all part of it's called Operation Paperclip. If you Google up Operation Paperclip, you will realize that you're being fed nothing but lies and distractions, and basically they're just petting the sheep. And if you guys continually be pet, you know, like being petted, you're not going to get the meat of it. You're just going to eat whatever they feed you, and you're wrong at doing that because there's so much more. Since LaVoy was murdered, God gave me my voice to go ahead and speak, and that's what I started doing. And I'm surprised at how much information is available to you if you just look. It's right there, and you can get the hyperlinks, you can get deeper, you can go. I get White House briefings, all that stuff. It's right there. It's easily obtained. You just need to take the time and do it. Can't live your life and think nothing's going to happen, because things are happening. The economy is going to crash. Who knows what's going to happen with this election, whether Obama stays in longer, Hillary gets in the office, gets charged, whatever. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, so everything that's happening right now is a part of history, and you're living it, and you need to pay attention because things are going to shift. Things are shifting all around the world, and it's all by design. Each and every country that we go to and fight, basically, they're already instilling martial law in those countries. If you really realize how many issues are going on that we're not being told about, like Venezuela, Cuba, all that stuff. Every country has its own issues, but nobody is telling you about it because you're not looking for it. And the mainstream media is definitely not going to tell you, but you've got to take the time and pay attention. There's too many people walking around in a fog. My latest project is geoengineering, and that in itself, if you guys need to stop and look up and see all these chemtrails, the barium, the lithium, the lead, the aluminum.
Hey, I can tell you, exactly. Folks, if you're interested in the geoengineering situation, because I got to get back to the Marbury v. Madison here real quick, but if you go to www.geoengineeringwatch.org, my friend Dane Wigington is running that site. You will get so much information on geoengineering, a.k.a. chemtrails. That's geoengineeringwatch.org. O-R-G. Check it out. I got to get back onto this topic. I'm going to mute you back up, Gillis. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
No worries, brother. Thank you very much. And continue up doing the good work, brother.
Yes, sir. Spread the word. I'm going to put you back on mute. All right, Char. How you doing, my friend? We're back. Hey, great stuff there, folks. Spread the word.
Yes.
Spread the word. I kind of like that. It reminds me of an old joke that they used to tell. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have young children in the room, please remove them from the room at this time. This joke is a little. The word of the day is legs.
Uh-oh.
Spread the word.
You're terrible.
All right, and that goes along with Cox and Glocks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
we're back
no
to
kidding.
Madison v. Marbury, because we got about 5 minutes left, and then we got to break down the show and tell you how you can hear Constitutional Truth on Friday and other things coming up. So where do we leave off?
Well, I want to thank Gillis for calling in, and he is a fine friend of mine. He until he got his own show rolling again on Friday nights, he used to come on mine and then go to his show that was on later, but now he's on earlier, so I don't get to have him on mine as much. But he's a wonderful guy, and I really enjoy his support that he showed me and so on and so forth. But Yeah, like I said, with Marbury versus Madison, it seems to be that there's a split in the opinion as to whether it was good or it was bad. And like I said, I think it's neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It just depends on your perspective. It created a situation and kind of added a dimension to the Supreme Court that had not been defined in the Constitution and should probably, with a better set of people in D.C., have a constitutional amendment added to lawfully create that for them instead of legal precedents being in place for it. But I think it's important that we have someone, a body, doing this type of interpretation of the Constitution and understanding of the Constitution, or not really interpretation, but comparison of legal decisions or laws made by the Congress and things that are done by the president, and comparing and contrasting them against the Constitution. And of course, it only is logical that it would be the Supreme Court that needs to do this. So while it's not technically written in the Constitution that this is one of their job descriptions, it is this case that set the precedents for them to do so. And like I said, because most of these justices have some experience, of course, nowadays they're all bar attorneys, but traditionally they've all had some experience in the legal field, it only makes sense that that would be the branch to do so.
Awesome. There you have it, folks. We explained it as best we can here this evening. Marbury, Madison. Very interesting stuff. Folks, we are moving through this series that we are involved in here, Constitution 101. I who knew the Constitution? When you look at the Constitution, the thing you put on your wall, you would never think it was this long and this complicated and interesting and educational. But this thing is very long. We got Article 4 we got to cover. And we go up to Article 7, then, of course, the signers, and we get back into the amendment. Starting with Amendment 12, Amendment 11, because we ended with the Bill of Rights when we did when we started the Constitution. We started with the Bill of Rights. Then we moved on to the Articles. Then we will move on to the Amendment. And we're starting with Amendment 11, of course. That'll be coming up here real soon. And the 11th Amendment did change some of the things within Article 3, if I remember correctly. And I'm sure we'll hit on all of that fun stuff. I want to have you right now, Shar, tell folks about your show on Friday nights and how they can connect with you if they want to hang out with Shar Sein and the Constitutional Truth on Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. There you go, folks. I just gave you the information that Shar was going to give, but you can go ahead.
Obviously, I'm here on Patriot Nation Radio. You spit out the web address much faster and much better than I do, but here on Blog Talk at Patriot Nation Radio, Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 o'clock God's time, Eastern Central. Good Lord, I can't even speak. And you can catch me on Facebook at, that's the little at sign, Constitutional Truth, Shar Signs. Sign up for event notifications. I create the show, I create an event, and if you have event notifications, you'll be notified automatically. That way I don't have to try to remember all 1,200 plus people that are on the page to notify you. I think we're limited to 500 invites anyway. And then you can listen to the show. You can also call in to the show, 3476, what is it again, 347?
637-3942, ladies and gentlemen. You can hit up the website, www.blogtalkradio.com, Patriot Nation. And you can hook that up at 8 p.m.
Yep.
Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m.
That's
Central.
Right. And since mine is a listener, not really a guest show like yours is, but more of a listeners on my guest show, you need to press 1 to let me know that you want to speak to me about the topic at hand. Otherwise, I just assume you're listening.
There you have it. Now, I have an interesting show coming up this week on Thursday, right after my good friend, James Bostic and his show, Conservative Perspective, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. I have a gentleman. His name is Scott Maxwell, and he does a lot with art in the Florida area, in the St. Petersburg area, when it comes to supporting veterans and things like that. And he's got an event coming up September 16th. I'm going to have him come on the first to promote his event, which will be in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Gaslight Square. You're going to be, I guess they're going to be selling and auctioning off artwork and displaying artwork from photographers and artists and stuff that are veterans to help them. And it's going to be quite interesting. I believe that's exactly what his event is. But he's going to give us all those details this Thursday. And following him, I'm going to have Brian Bilbo and Lauren Mattel are going to come out and tell us an unbelievable story of a young illegal immigrant boy who was brought here, slipped into the system, and disappeared. Now, folks, there's a lot of stuff going on and coming out here in the next few weeks about this gigantic pedophile ring that includes 70,000 members globally, including, high politicians. I don't know if you recall, I had a guest on from Australia, Fiona, who was, as a child, brought to Bohemian Grove. She was attacked by President Nixon on the tarmac in Australia. This is her story. I'm just telling you what she told me. And Nicole Kidman's father, Dr. Anthony Kidman, attacked her, and she was attacked at Bohemian Grove. And what she says happens in Bohemian Grove is unbelievable. What they do a lot of times is they dress these kids up in little costumes, little animal costumes, and send them out into the woods and hunt them. I mean, it's crazy, crazy stuff going on. These folks are going to tell us an unbelievable story. They have a case going through the courts. I believe it's in South Carolina right now. They're going to come on, and they're going to tell us exactly what happened with this boy or what's happening and how they're trying to find this kid and what they're stumbling upon as they go through the case. That's Thursday, 8 o'clock, right after the Conservative Perspective with James Bostic, which starts at 7. Those times are Eastern Standard Time. And we got many good things coming on and coming up. And, of course, you want to check out Spread the Word with Gillis. He came on just before at blogtalkradio.com/spreadtheword, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Don't miss them shows, folks. And, of course, our good friend Keeper, Keeper's Mind Pool, Wednesdays. I believe that's at 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/Keeper's Mind Pool, 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, Eastern Time. And, of course, my good friend Brian Lang and Live Truth Radio. Check him out. And there's so many different things going on all the time, folks. Just keep looking around and find your show. And with that, I want to say, Charlotte, thank you so much for tuning in. I mean, joining me this evening as my co-host. And Gillis,
always,
thank you again for your input tonight. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And don't forget, Patriot Nation Radio Network is here always, as I am the most consistent show that I know. I don't know any shows that happen every day, on time, always, like Patriot Nation Radio. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And with that, folks, I'm trying to dig up this one last tune. I want to play the Star Spangled Banner as performed by our good friend and occasional guest, Dave Bray. He sung his national anthem live in Pittsburgh, a cappella. As I scroll through, there's 10,000 things on this list now. I'm going to play this right now. Shaw, thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you again real soon. Ladies and gentlemen, the Star Spangled Banner as performed by Dave Bray live in Pittsburgh. Good night. God bless.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly strong.
Yeah.